You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for the first day of a new trading week, and so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm talking to Nick Kunzer from Sanlam Private Wealth. Nick, after Friday, I mean, you would have thought there would be a bit of nervousness as people, slept restlessly on Friday, Saturday and Sunday nights, but not a bit of it. It's a nice bounce back. In fact, on the JSE, a terribly good bounce back.
Yeah, good evening, Lindsay. Yeah, I mean, a nicely timed by air 2 days before the statements go out for month end. It was looking pretty precarious on Friday. But, I mean, Friday, I think that what I can guess, the moves on Friday, obviously exasperated by, a half day in America. There was obviously, very thin markets. You could see it in a lot of the different asset classes. The spreads were quite wide. But the moves were quite significant, actually. I mean, our financial banks, we didn't speak on Friday, but, I mean, some of the banks were down 7-8%. A huge move intraday. Yeah. And then let's fast forward to today. Traders back at their desks. It seems to be a little bit of a digesting the news. Maybe this Omicron virus, not as bad as we think, whilst that, the realization that this is how it's going to be. You're going to have to get used to new strains coming, and shutting the world down and shutting borders is probably not the solution. So it seems to be a few cooler heads anyway, what I've seen this morning. And if you look at the prices on our screen, we've got a nice bounce back in almost most of the risk assets today.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate here, because I've just been watching the BBC, and okay, there were 13 people on a flight from Johannesburg or Cape Town, one of the two, to Amsterdam Schiphol Airport. 61 people on the flight who had been tested and also had been vaccinated. They were tested when they got to Schiphol. 61 of them, of the 250 or 300 on the aeroplane, were positive, 13 of which had this new variant, Omicron. And then I just saw another piece on the BBC. There was a Portuguese football team travelling around Europe. One of them had been to South Africa, specifically South Africa, and he infected the rest of the team with Omicron as well. So I don't know if this is a knee-jerk reaction. Let's just close down, and when we know a little bit more, then rather than the other way around. Come on, Nick.
So look, I'm by no means an expert at viruses. I stare at markets all day. But I saw an interview from the doctor that first alerted and is treating patients in South Africa. He referred to it as him being on ground zero and the epicenter for this new variant. And he says, as far as you can tell, the symptoms have been very mild. Yes. So that is a positive. But I don't know. I still think they're trying to, 2 years in, Lindsay, I just think all of us, as in the world, are trying to find a blueprint to living with it, because it's not going away tomorrow. I mean, we had Moderna out yesterday saying they'll have tweaked their mRNA vaccines by early next year, Jan/Feb. So the next month or two, there'll be an answer to this. But I just think. I think at some point we all have to kind of live with it. I don't know what that solution is. I don't think shutting down borders and sort of literally isolating countries every time there's a new variant. I don't know, Lindsay. Really, I don't know what the answer is. But it's certainly whatever was thought on Friday was completely the opposite today, because there's lots of green on my screen. So I guess we'll take it.
Yes, very good. Yes, maybe you're right. I mean, everyone's an expert, as we've said so many times, but the point is we don't know. So let's just see what happens. And if it does turn out
just to put it, how disruptive this is for the world at large. I mean, we were supposed to have a very small lunch on this Friday with some colleagues from Sanlam. That was cancelled in light of the news over the weekend and the president's speech yesterday. I was supposed to have another sort of get-together with some clients, though on a small, safe scale, booked somewhere outdoors, and I know everyone's been vaccinated. That was cancelled for Wednesday. So once again, it's ever evolving sort of story, this news we have to live with at the moment.
Yes, we do. And I have to live with the fact that now it's 4:20 in the afternoon in the Netherlands, 5:20 in Johannesburg. And I would normally, it's quite a bright and breezy day, although it's freezing cold here. I would normally walk around about 312 meters to the local bar and sit there and think about my day and have a glass of something. But I can't do that because everything closes from 5 o'clock. All non-essential shops, restaurants, bars, the whole lot. So I can't do that. And although that sounds petty and selfish, the fact is it disrupts your normal daily life.
Yeah, it disrupts everything. And then, and as I said, I think we're just going to have to learn to live with this. I don't know in what shape or form, but I guess we have to.
Yes, we do. Do we have to live with the fact that this platinum story in South Africa is going to go on and on? I mean, what is this now?
Which one?
The Royal Bafokeng.
The trifecta. It's like barbarians at the gates. I'm just waiting for Mr. Froneman to fly in and bring four to the table. Then we really know it's the top of the market. I don't know. I find it fascinating. Fascinating because... I mean, the original deal with Impala made sense.
Yes.
With Royal Bafokeng. They literally share the same fence. They share the same reef. The synergies were there for all to see. That definitely made sense. The Northern's deal never did make sense until you started to find out that they've literally quadrupled their empowerment credentials. And it was clearly just more – I don't think it was just a mining deal as such. I think there really was some sort of BE involved there as well. And then coming out today, I don't know how much is opportunistic either, because, I mean, they effectively played 183.50 rand, you know, so they're not going to get rid of those shares for less than that. I mean, that's just, they're never going to do it. So I don't know, between Northerns and Impala, it's obviously more to the story. There always is in South Africa. But I do find the whole thing quite fascinating. It's been quite fun watching it today unfold.
Yeah, I mean, it's a small community. I mean, let's face it, South Africa owns, I think, 76% of the world's PGM reserves, known reserves.
No,
and there's a few companies that dominate it. So they all know what's going on. They all speak to each other.
I mean, our clever guys in the Cape actually had a management meeting like 2 or 3 weeks ago just before the deal broke. And they went back to get more feedback. And they said the local sort of breakfast place in the area in Rustenburg, where most of them frequent, they said like all three of them all sitting literally at the same table having breakfast, like, you know, nothing untoward. It's just, as you said, it's so small, that fraternity, especially in the village. And they all kind of know each other. But if I look at the share price, all three up today. So this story has not has a lot further to run for now, definitely.
It certainly does. What about Standard Bank? I was reading the Standard Bank voluntary trading update. I had a look at it this morning, then I read it this afternoon. Really, really good. I mean, a really good update. Costs are down, revenues up. These transactions are pre-2019 levels, maybe even in excess of that. It looks like a great number.
It's a very good set of numbers. In fact, I mean, I'm unbiased, so I mean, I was buying some for clients last week. I've been stayed away from the financials for a while, but Standard Bank certainly stuck up. It's been quite a good deal, offering good value. It's back to trading levels almost pre-COVID. They're back to reinstalling dividends, cash flow positive. I thought that Stanlib deal was quite a cheeky deal as well. Very positive for Standard Bank's bottom line. And all in all, just a really solid set of numbers and very upbeat. If you look at how the revenues are, they said will continue to recover. It's higher average balances at a growing client base, all the rest of it. Standard Bank down 7.5% odd on Friday and finishing up 5%. Not making back all of it,
no,
but certainly it was strong and solid. And yeah, I think Standard Bank is definitely wonderful. For those listening at the show, want to punt on a financial service in South Africa, I think Standard Bank's results were excellent today.
Very good. Spot prices now, dollar rand, just weakening a little bit. It's been in the sort of 16.10 to 16.15 most of the day against the US dollar. It's currently 16.19. British pound against the rand, 21.55. Euro rand, 18.25. Euro dollar, 1.1270. The dollar has moved down by 0.5%. Euro moved up by the same amount. British pound against the US dollar, 133.10, which has barely changed. The gold price, 1787, mired below that 1800 level, which some people seem to hang their hat on. The platinum price is up, let's call it $10 to $964 an ounce. And palladium, just below 1800, up $8 on the day, or 0.4%. The oil price, we didn't speak on Friday, but you and I would have loved this oil price as frustrated
Couldn't
commodity
believe that
traders.
Could not believe it.
12% down it was. And if I refresh my screen, okay, it was about 7% up in early dealings this morning as enthusiasm for risk on trades and the world economy started to filter through. But anyway, it's come off quite sharply. And do you know what, Nick? I mean, I'll say this, and I've said it to you before. You don't need to comment upon it, but when there's this volatility at an extended level, whether a market be extended at the top or in the doldrums at the bottom, when there's all this sort of volatility, it sometimes means a change in trend. So we were 12% down on Friday. We were 7% up this morning. The West Texas crude is now up 4.5% to $71.26. Brent crude oil, $75.34, up 3.6%. Natural gas today, okay, this is one for you, 11.6% weaker, which is an obsession with Europeans, and especially people in Britain, because I think seven natural gas suppliers have gone bust in the last 3-4 months because they just simply can't pass on these extra prices, so they've gone into liquidation. So that's a massive move for natural gas. But I'm going to stick my neck out here. I want to short oil, Nick. Are you with me?
No, you're not. I think I agree with your statement that this massive volatility, and I would add to that statement, there's massive volatility in the risk assets as well. So if you look at what the precious metal basket did, just look at what the Rand is doing. The Rand is your sort of proxy for EM at the moment. I mean, it's moving 15, 20 cents every hour on my screen. That is abnormally big swings, as well as the moves we saw in copper, the moves we saw in a couple of other. Look at Bitcoin last week, Lindsay. I mean, I don't know. That's definitely a trading asset that moved 20% last week. So it seems to me that there's definitely something at this level in the market that's trying to find direction. These wild swings. Oil, I just be a little bit careful with oil. We've got OPEC meeting this week. I can't imagine they're going to be doing much because they've been moaned at by Joe Biden and everyone else to get the oil price down. But well, the last session before today, maybe took a little bit of care of this. And the oil price, the oil price where it is now, a little bit lower, is probably not bad for emerging markets too. It's much better, but I'm not sure where this oil price is going, Lindsay. It's really all over the place at the moment.
Okay, please write it down. 29th of November, 2021. Williams goes short of Brent crude oil, $75.11 per barrel, which is what I'm seeing on my screen.
Williams is alone on this trade.
It's best. It's like the bloke when he's stopped by the policeman and says, "Do you know, sir, you're going the wrong way on a one-way street?" Yeah. Now, what was the joke? I can't remember it now. He says, "Do you know this is a one-way street, sir?" He says, "Yes, I am going one way, but it was against the traffic." So that is what I'm doing. I'm going against the traffic. I'm short at 75.11. Write that down and mark my words. The United States 10-year bond yield is 1.54%, which is a 3.7% move to the upside. The South African 10-year bond yield has done quite a bit recently. It was in the 990s on Friday and was looking quite good this morning. It was about 10 basis points better. I mean, the yield falling, that is, but is now back at 9.86%. And Bitcoin, all over the place, as always. It's currently up 5.5%, I think it is, as I refresh my screen. But anyway, it's bounced back to the 57,000 level, 5.07% higher, 57,059. S&P futures are doing rather nicely, thank you very much, up 0.9%, just off their highs, 4,637. Any other corporate news or overseas news that you saw, Nick, today?
No, just the one that the barometer I always watch, which is the volatility index. It was up 51% on Friday at one point. And today it's down 15% today. So, yes, if you ever want an indication that volatility is back, look at the actual your fear gauge, the actual volatility index itself, which has just had a 60% swing in the space of 24 hours. So clearly lots going on. We've got, as I said, 24 trading days left to the end of the year, and it's not over yet. Outside of that, I've been watching also this US 10-year note. You mentioned it under 1.6 again. Risk-off, risk-on growth versus value trade for me. We're going to see how this pans out because, the rhetoric now, of course, is on Friday that, central banks will continue to stimulate. because of a new variant or new strain of the virus coming through, and all of a sudden you saw those yields drop quite significantly. Mm. I'm not quite sure if that's, if we're there yet. I think the US, this inflation is still a big problem. We saw a number out of Germany today, Lindsay, that caught my eye. I mean, the biggest jump in inflation in better part of two decades. Gosh. So this transitory statement is completely off the table, and central banks are going to have to continue to tighten. So keep an eye on the US 10-year, everyone. That's what you've got to keep an eye on at the moment.
As we do every single day. Royal Bafokeng Platinum up 16.5% today. Bytes Technology up 15.4%. Any story there, Bytes? Why is Bytes up 15.4%? Do we know, Nick? Is it one you watch?
No, I mean, it's often on the leaderboard, though. It's not a company I follow too closely.
That's a big move, even if it's maybe it was just a finger fault or just a basket of shares that went through at a particular price and people got together and said, this is what we wanted, the price at which we want to transact this. I don't know how it works, but anyway, up 15.4%, Supergroup up 6.2%, Nedcor on the coattails of Standard Bank up 6.2%, Impala Platinum up just over 6%. On the downside, Process 2.8% weaker. PSG Consult down 2.4%. Naspers down 2%. And DRD Gold down 1.5%. Is the Process Naspers story ex-dividend story or what after the results?
No, it's just, look, there was more noise out of China this morning with regards to, I think they fined, I think the company was called Sun City Group, ironically. It's a big gambling house out of China. I see they were, I think the chairman or someone got arrested for gambling indiscretions, and they're looking at clamping down on gambling. I don't know. It's just that Chinese regulatory story continues to regularly rear its head on a Sunday. It tend to be when they sort of rattle the cage a bit. So I don't know. I'm still sort of very cautious with Process and Naspers until we get more clarity.
A couple of other ones as well, not in the on the leaderboard, because there's been some really big leaders today. Sasol up 4.5%. City Lodge up 9.2%, having had a torrid time with the other hospitality stocks last week. That's a volatile sector that's not for widows and orphans.
No, Sun International up 12.5% as well, joining in with City Lodge. Wild swings, and in fact, also the banks. I mean, you spoke about Nedbank up 6.17% off those decent earnings from Standard Bank. But I mean, that whole financial basket down massively on Friday, and it didn't even really make a huge amount of sense. You know, why would you punish the South African financial sector by 8-9%? It had its biggest drop since pre-COVID. So yeah, they're bouncing back again. But yeah, it's quite difficult to dissect what is happening in the background to these shares.
Give us the JSE closing indices on yet another fascinating day, please, Nick.
Fascinating day, and it's going to be a fascinating week. So a nice bounce back today. We are comfortably. We're 8 points above 70,000. Now we've reclaimed the 70,000 dead on the JSE All Share. 2.03% higher, 1,393. It's almost as much as we lost on the Friday. So really solid start to this week. Top 40 not far behind either. 1.91% higher, 63,600, the closing level. Looking at the shares which led us higher. Well, you mentioned Sasol. The energy index up 5.31%. Healthcare had a strong day as well, 3.73% firmer. Financials bouncing back from Friday's drubbing, that index up 3.5%. Industrial 3.11% winner. Real estate 1.98%. On the downside, we spoke about that, the tech index, LBU Process and your Naspers. The tech index down 1.87%. And utility sector also had a bit of a soggy day, down 3.8%. And value traded, just no one around. 17.1 billion value traded.
Nick, thank you very much for your time, your insight. I can hear in your voice that you're expecting some action for the rest of the week and maybe even the rest of the year. Nick Kunze is from Sanlam Private Wealth, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.